All right. Well, Father, we just praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful baby. Thank you, Lord, that we've got this baby out, and he's a big old baby. He's got a full head of hair. He's healthy. Mama's healthy. Daddy's healthy. Everybody's healthy. And we praise you for it, Lord. We thank you for your angels surrounding the whole household and protecting and providing whatever's needed, Lord. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, it's just an awesome, awesome time to see your creations come forth, Lord. This is awesome. We praise you, Father, for that. Thank you for it, Lord. And it's just, we glorify you for bringing this nice, big, healthy baby out and keeping Mama healthy and Daddy all googly-eyed. And we praise you for it, Father. We ask, Lord, that you be with us tonight, that tonight would be a special time, Lord, a time of reflecting on creation. We thank you, Lord, it's going to be a time of prayer, a time that places in our heart the need to pray and to pray consistently and constantly. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to place that in everybody's heart. And we ask, Lord, that you lead us tonight, guide us, show us what you want us to talk about. And, Lord, I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Oh, go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry. I didn't see you.
I just want to pray for the for Anna right now. Lord, we pray that Anna will be fully recovered from this, Lord, and she'll have no side effects from it, Lord, and that all the soreness will go away, Lord, and we thank you for it, and the swollenness to go down. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That boy's got some tonsils now. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Taking all the pain away. In Jesus' name. All right, anyone else? You know, I have a special place in my heart for kids and babies. I just I love them. I don't get to see mine that often, so I more or less adopt the ones around here as my grandkids, and I get to play with them and ride them on the tractor and do all the things grandpas do, spoil them. You know, that's my job. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray about something? What about a testimony or a praise report? What about a good joke? Come on, y'all, help me out here. Oh, boy. You know, I found a... Go ahead, somebody.
Yeah, Michael, I have a praise report.
Okay, good.
We had a snowstorm here in the last couple of days, and we went to town today to get some things, and the road was just, you know, the snow had gotten packed on there, and it was just packed solid ice, and we was coming along, and all of a sudden our pickup started sliding sideways, and we ended up going off a pretty steep bank in the ditch and went down the ditch and went alongside of a fence. I thought we scraped the whole side of the pickup up. I was amazed that there's practically nothing, just kind of bent the mirror back, and we didn't get hurt, and had to do a lot of scooping because the ditch was full of snow, but we did get out, and we didn't get hurt, and it didn't do nothing to our pickup except bend the mirror back, and so I just praise the Lord for that, because that sure could have been a lot worse.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's not a good feeling. You don't have any control over that truck and where it's going, is it, Marla? I just holler, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, you know. Praise God. All right, anyone else got a praise report or a testimony? Would like to share something. I'd like to pray this for all of us. This is a prayer for protection and strength. Now, I pray this prayer in the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, your one and only Son who died and rose again for remission of sin. I bind, rebuke, and render powerless all division, discord, disunity, strife, wrath, criticism, condemnation, pride, envy, jealousy, gossip, slander, evil speaking, complaining, lying, false teaching, false gifts, false manifestations, lying signs and wonders, poverty, fear of lack, fear of spirits, deceiving spirits, religious spirits, hindering spirits, retaliatory spirits, occult spirits, witchcraft spirits, spirits of Antichrist, and all familiar and territorial spirits. And I bind all curses that have been spoken against every one of us. And I bless those who curse us and pray blessings on those who despitefully use us. I bind all spoken judgments made against all of us and judgments that I have made against others and that we have made against others. I bind the power of negative words from others, and I bind and render useless all prayers not inspired by the Holy Spirit, whether psychic, soul force, witchcraft, or counterfeit tongues that have been prayed against me. We are God's children. We resist the devil and declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We take authority over this day. Let it be prosperous for us, Lord, and let us walk in your love. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us today and fills us with all needed gifting and graces. We discern between the righteous and the wicked, and we take authority over Satan and all his demons and those people who are influenced by them. And we declare Satan is under our feet and shall remain there all day and all night. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are God's property. Satan, you are bound from our families, from our minds, from our bodies, from our home, and from our finances. And we confess that we are healed and whole. We flourish, am long-lived, stable, durable, incorruptible, fruitful, virtuous, full of peace, patience, and love. And whatsoever we set our hands to do shall prosper, for God supplies all our needs. We claim a hedge of protection by the precious blood of Jesus around all of us and our loved ones throughout the day and the night. And we ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, to send angels to surround us today and every day, and to put them throughout our houses and around our souls and around our bodies and wills and emotions. And we call on your holy angels to protect our houses from any intrusion and to protect ourselves and our families from any harmful demonic or other physical or mental attacks. And I ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And then Isaiah 12:2 says, God indeed is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. Praise God. Amen. Y'all receive that? Amen. Me too.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Brother Michael.
Thank you, Lord. Hey, Jeremy.
How's it going?
Going good. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report? Or just want to talk about something or other?
I don't know. Can you guys see me like that?
Yeah, I can see.
All right. No, please, sister, by all means.
Go ahead, Jackie.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I have a testimony. I guess it was about a week or so ago. I was texting with a sister, and I was getting ready to go, so I told her I had to, you know, get ready and leave, and I had a hoodie on, and I put my cell phone in my hoodie pocket, and I heard a voice, and it was Brother David, and the UBM radio started playing all on its own. I had downloaded the app, maybe a year or two ago. I don't even know how long, but I haven't put it on my cell phone for probably a good year or so, and I heard this voice, and I pulled out my phone, and it was Brother David, and he was speaking a verse about Jesus putting all things under subjection, under his feet, and it just started playing all on its own, and I was like, amen, Lord, thank you. So you must have wanted me to hear it for a while.
Amen. Yep, I remember.
Praise God, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, amen. That is cool. I remember a testimony of a local that moved up here after it happened, but that he had a CD of David's playing in his radio in his truck. He pulled the CD out, stopped it, and it kept on playing. He pulled the CD out, and it kept on playing.
Amen. I remember hearing that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to need that in the days ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So that thing played all night long.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. I just praise God because that gave me like a little bit of, I don't know, it just gave me a lot of joy when I heard David, you know, because it just surprised me. And I thought, I heard a voice and I was, you know, in the house by myself and I thought, who's talking? And here I pulled him out of my pocket.
Yeah, Twilight Zone, huh? The zone between the zone between the zone. Amen. All right, amen. That's a good testimony.
Amen. Thank you. How do I mute again? Do I just star 6 again?
I think so. Try it and
see. Bye.
Yeah, that worked. Okay. Praise God. All right. Anyone else?
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gano.
Well, I had a little something I was going to share. I don't know. I've kind of been going through a time where it seems like the Lord is really teaching me patience, and I guess I'm really finding out how impatient I can be. Anyway, it seems like recently I've had quite a few nights of not being able to sleep, and so it's just, you know, an opportunity to get up and to be in His Word. And last night was another one of those nights. And I would just like to read what I felt He said to me. It may speak to someone else, too, who may be, you know, may be experiencing the same thing, that they're waiting for a word from the Lord and He's stretching their patience like He does mine. And I would just like to read that and then share a dream that I had a while back. And that's kind of what has, you know, brought all this about, but I would just like to share that, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Okay, what I was hearing last night was, and I know that He was speaking to me personally, but I felt that He was also saying it may be for someone else, and that's why I'm going to share it. Most importantly, your focus must be on me. It must remain on me. You must know me. Sit quietly before me. Don't jump to conclusions. But wait on me, wait patiently for me to speak to you. Wait patiently for me to give you understanding while you're waiting. Remind yourself of who you are in me. Know your inheritance, but most of all, know me. Know my character, know my nature, know my love and my faithfulness to those who are mine. I am your loving Father. Trust me, and I will reveal myself to you. I will answer your questions in my time. Don't be impatient. I know your heart. Silence doesn't mean I've forgotten you, but is to draw you nearer and into a deeper relationship with me, that you spend more time in my presence, that we be one. Rest in my promise to never leave you nor forsake you. And after that, the word that I got by random was from James chapter 5, verse 11. Lo, we call them blessed that endured. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, how that the Lord is full of pity and merciful. And I think Job had so much patience and he had so much trust in the Lord. And you know, I just wish that for myself, that I would be to that point where he was. And now I just kind of like to share, it's not a long dream. It was rather short, but I had so many questions about it, and I was, you know, wanting to understand it and see things in it. And I think, you know, he just purposely didn't let me see what he really had And there's still things that I don't understand about it. But the main thing about it was I was going to a wedding. And I'll just read it because I have written it, a little bit of it up. I don't have everything, but a little. A friend and I were going to a wedding. A young child was also going along with us. We were walking up a steep, narrow path. All at once, there was a large tree uprooted and laying on the path that we were walking on. The first part of the tree that we saw were the bare, gnarly roots. They were short and small and had knots and kinks everywhere. They just really looked demonic. They were just, you know, they weren't smooth flowing. They were just kinky and really ugly, demonic looking roots. There was no soil around any of the roots. The diameter of the trunk of the tree was higher than I am tall. I'm not just especially tall, but still, this was a big tree. Somehow, we found ourselves on the other side of the roots. The trunk of the tree had red bark and was very long. It reminded me of the tall redwoods or sequoia trees that we have seen in California. Our daughter lives right outside Sequoia National Park, so we've been up into the park, and those trees are just awesome. But I just, you know, seeing it, and it did look like a redwood tree to me, and those redwood trees have red bark and red wood, and that is soft. And I just looked it up. I was just curious, and it said that the bark on these redwood trees is said to be fire resistant, which is something that I didn't remember if I had known it. But anyway, that was the tree. And so after coming upon this tree, the other thing that was kind of strange about that, the tree was on the path. You know, there were trees on the side of the path all over the place, but this one was right in the path, like it was on the path, and then all at once it was just uprooted, and that was the end of it. But that was something, and I haven't gotten any revelation on that. The only thing that came to my mind was faction. That was the only thing that really came to my mind, but I didn't really have any understanding beyond that. Anyway, we continued up the path, and when we got to the top, there was a small white chapel. We just got there, and then there was a really tall, slim lady. She was, oh goodness, she looked to me to be 7 or 8 foot tall, and she was dressed in a real conservative bridal gown. And she walked over to us, and she just, you know, just really matter-of-factly said, "This is only the rehearsal. It's not the wedding." And I realized at this time that, oh goodness, I thought it was the wedding. So now I want to go to this wedding, and I don't know what time the wedding is. And I didn't have a watch, and my friend didn't have a watch either. And, I know, I was really disturbed over that fact that it was just a rehearsal and was going to miss this wedding or whatever. And I didn't want to miss the wedding. And so I decided, you know, I'm not going anywhere. And I just laid down on the ground. And like I said, I just had really a lot of questions. And I didn't feel that the Lord was answering me. And I don't know, the friend that was with me as a child, she had been very sickly. She'd had rheumatic fever, and she actually died at a young age of 39 from a heart condition. But anyway, she was with me, and she's not a person that I have thought about in, oh goodness, long time. But I'm just thinking that the Lord had a reason for her being in that dream. I'm not sure what it was. And I know there was a child there, and I really don't know, you know, the meaning of that either. But I would say the thing that really disturbed me, or that I was disappointed when I heard the word rehearsal, I was, you know, I was frustrated and, you know, and thinking that, oh, now I don't know the actual time of the wedding and I don't have a watch. And just when I heard that word rehearsal, I thought, well, goodness, that's not biblical for the wedding they're speaking of in the Bible. And I don't know that. Those thoughts kind of were running across my mind. And one night, you know, the Lord just would not let me sleep. And so I got up, and so I was just kind of, I got out the Strong's Concordance, and I was just looking to see, okay, so where is the word? Rehearsal was not in the Bible, but I did find the word rehearse. And it was used, like, I think, four times in the Old Testament and a couple times in the New Testament. And so after reading some of those verses, that really did give me peace of mind. And the first one I'll read is Judges 5, verse 11. It says, "Far from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts of his rule in Israel. Then the people of the Lord went down to the gates." And I, you know, when I read that, it's like, oh, the righteous acts of the Lord, of course we're to rehearse those. And another one was in 1 Samuel 8, verse 21. "And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord." And that reminds me of the times, you know, when we are to speak God's word back to him, you know, speak what he says, agree with his word, and that's rehearsing it. And you know, I just had not thought of that. And Acts 14:27, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all things that God had done with them, and that he had opened a door of faith unto the Gentiles." And I thought that was a really cool one, too. They rehearsed all things that God had done with them. You know, and you ask for testimonies and all these things, you know, and goodness sakes, the Lord is with us each day. And so often, you know, they may be small things, but they're great things and they're awesome things. But I would just have to say that study that I did that night, it really brought me peace of mind, and I was just thankful to the Lord for his word, and you know, that he helped me to understand the importance of the rehearsal for this wedding, because each one of his saints, that is what we need to do every day, to rehearse those things before him. And it's just an awesome way to renew our spirit. And then later, well, this is actually last weekend, as we were on our way to Omaha to that detention center, the Lord was speaking. I was listening to another Bible study on the way down there. And as I was listening to a Bible study, he just was dropping words in my mind that he wanted me to think on. And the first one was dismayed. And I thought, dismayed? But, you know, really, when I heard that the woman speak rehearsal, I did have that feeling of being dismayed, because I was discouraged. And, you know, I don't know that I was fearful, but I was discouraged. And in Isaiah 41, verse 10, he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, and with the right hand of And I will strengthen thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Another word he gave me was the word rest. And that I thought of, you know, when I laid down on the ground to rest. I didn't want to leave, but I laid down to rest. And brought the scripture from Matthew 11:28-29. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And in Hebrews, he also mentions the word rest. "Rest from works as God did from his. Give diligence to enter into that rest." And that was verses 10 and 11 from Hebrews 4. Another word that he brought to my mind was grounded, because I laid down on the ground. And, you know, I knew there was a verse, and I couldn't quite think of it. I had phrases in my mind, and so I knew it was be rooted and grounded. And so I looked it up so that I would have the whole thing. And that was in Ephesians 3, verse 17, "Be rooted and grounded in love, that ye may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Another word was stay. Like, I wasn't going to leave. I was going to stay. And Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's a verse I really do like. And kind of going along with stay is don't be moved. And that song, it's kind of an older song, I shall not be moved. Anyway, that was going through my head. And that phrase is in Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. And, you know, if we do have our focus on him, we won't be moved. We won't get all disturbed and all out of whack. And Psalm 55:22, and this was the last one. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. But anyway, those are some of the things that that he brought to my mind. And I guess in closing, I would just like to share the verse from Isaiah 30, verse 18. And I know I used to share it from the New Living Translation to the kids in the detention center a lot. I just really liked the way it was worded, and it was easy for them to get the gist of just our God and how great he is. And it is, but the Lord still waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for him to help them. So there's waiting on both sides. And I thank the Lord for his faithfulness, for speaking to me. And I know he's not done explaining this to me, but at least I have peace of mind now. And I just wanted to share that, because it has really been a blessing to me. I know he's kept me up a lot of nights just, you know, seeking his word and what he has to say. And thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. That's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Well, that's good. That was enough. That was awesome. That's an awesome. Listen, you're going to type that up and send that to David now.
I can. I haven't finished it yet. I did type up part of it, but it's kind of rough, and it's all sketchy on a whole bunch of different pages, because I did it on so many different days.
But
the Lord has really blessed me with it, and I just really want to encourage anyone who is waiting for a word and just waiting to hear his voice. He is there, and he's faithful, and you know, he does want us to draw near to him. And I think it's in those silent times that, you know, we just really desire his presence. And that's what he's been working here. And I just thank him and praise him. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Bless you all. Thank you. Well, bless you. Thank you so much. That was a blessing. Really a good blessing. I would ask if you could, you get time, type that and that dream up, and that's going to be a very good encouragement for everybody.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share about what she just talked about? Go ahead, Bill.
As Gaynold was talking, I was thinking in the first epistle of John, it talks about he that abides in love abides in God, and that word abide means to dwell or to stay, and it translates that word as continue as well. And so I suppose if you abide and stay in that place, that you're continuing in that place, and I think that's kind of the point to looking at God's love, exploring God's love, getting to know the width, the depth, the breadth, the height of the love in his shedding of his own life for ours so that we could live. And he's the light. And to me, it seems you stay in that place. That's where an understanding comes from and a growth comes from. And it's the light. And that is, I think, also the rest that she was talking about. And I guess I just wanted to throw that in there. It's a bit of a word study, but it's, you know, it's looking at love. God is love, and staying in that and abiding in that.
Amen. Yeah. Well, you know, that's what God's been telling us all along, is to get closer, draw closer, draw closer, draw closer to Him and abide in Him. It's just the time. Amen. Thank you, Bill. Anyone else?
Yeah, if I may, real quick, to kind of further on what Bill was talking about. You know, it's interesting because he said God is love, right? And the Lord Jesus Christ was made. He was the Word in the beginning, and He was made flesh, right? He is the Word that is God, right? He tells His disciples, who we are to be, that if you are My disciple indeed, you will stay within My Word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Not set you free, make you free. When you abide in His Word, which is love, you put more of His love in you. You meditate upon His Word, and it makes you free. It takes away the offenses. You stop looking at people arrogantly and haughtily. And then when you start moving away from that, the demeanor of carnality, then you, because of spirit, lust against the flesh, and the flesh lust against the spirit, they're contrary to one another, right? So you start moving more into the spiritual aspect of it, which is pure love through God. And it's really difficult. Imagine this, okay? Because I'm breading pork chops as I speak to you, so I'm not going to turn the camera on. But imagine this, okay? We want to live in carnality. We want Jesus. We want to make Him more like us as opposed to conforming to Him. We have authority in the spiritual realm, right? We start to come into that authority, and we fancy ourselves soldiers in Christ Jesus. I want you to picture a Green Beret, a Navy SEAL, just coming back from the war. Right, he's got a bunch of tattered rags on, and you know, he's kind of beat up, kind of scarred up a little bit. Got his gun here, and his, you know, empty ammo pouches, and just looks really weary. And that's battle hardened. Right now, the opposite end of the spectrum is an innocent little child who loves everyone, right, and who accepts everyone, and is quick to apologize because they're just trying to learn. They're two opposite ends of the spectrum. We always tend to not abide in Him, but to want to have our heart become battle-hardened because we're doing it ourselves, as opposed to a little child that lets Him do it for us. Just like the sister is telling us, just wait. Just wait, and He will do it for us. Otherwise, what's the point? You're doing things in His name, but it's not in His name. It's in your own name. So I'd just like to add into that and just say, wait. Rest in Him. Know that He's got you. He loves you just as much as He loves everybody else. Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world. So, you know, I don't wear a badge of honor. I wear a cloak of humility. And that covers me and being hidden in Christ Jesus. So, I don't know if that can add on to anybody can add on to that, but that's my two cents there.
Amen. Thank you, Jeremy. Anybody else want to add to it there? Go ahead, Bill.
He said that Jesus is the truth. And along with that, what Jesus did on the cross is the truth, and whereby we were established in Him. The wall was the wall that was between us. He bridged that, and He rent it, and He tore it down. And the reality and the truth of what He did on the cross is make us His and make us like Him. And we can look at other people in that regard and think what beautiful people that they really are. They might not know it, and yet that's who they are. And I suppose along with that, kind of along the lines of what your prayer was to start, there is something that's irreconcilable within every one of us. And yet God tells us to love our enemy. He was loving us. We're not the enemy, but there's something within us that has been destroyed and broken, and we can learn to walk in that way, looking at other people. I suppose that does mean a bit of a bearing of a cross, and yet you do that because you've got a hope and a vision of something that you've set your eyes on, which is that kingdom and these people whom God died for to bring into His fold. and to establish a fellowship and a relationship. And so it's, and yet there's a depth that it seems to me that you can explore when you really start looking at loving your enemies. They're not enemies, you know, it says, Paul said, you know, it's no longer I that sin, but sin that dwells in me. It's sin, and yet it's been done away with, and that's not really who they are. And that we can walk and look with that hope and that expectation. And that's the truth. And I guess what Jeremy said when he was saying the truth.
We lost your audio, Bill.
I happened to click mute by mistake for the last word. But anyway, I was basically finished. So anyway, I guess I don't remember exactly what I was saying. I know that I clicked mute. Anyway.
Okay.
The truth is Jesus and what he did, and he's at the center of it all, and we just need to know what he did.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Go ahead, Willie. I figured you did. I was waiting on you. Go ahead, brother.
Ooh, Lord. I forgot to bring my microphone down. What I find interesting, like, I used to have this really great big separation when it came to, you know, the blood of Christ. And I know I brought this up last time, but I would always look at anything that was said about Jesus Christ, like one part here, and, you know, the other part there. You know, there's the blood of Christ, and then there's me. There's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and, you know, then there's me. The Lord really taught, you know, use that scripture that says, for the joy that was set before him. And I was like, man, how do you, you know, crucify the flesh, endure the cross, but you're still, you know, in the body. The thing I used to struggle with was abiding in Christ. I had no idea what that meant. No idea. I put so much, 15 years of my own effort into, you know, abiding in Christ, you know, trying hard mentally, trying to ascend to a plane of holiness. Till one day the Lord, you know, he just used that. He just said, hey, he brought up the blood, and he's like, you know, about being one with the blood. And it wasn't like I was the blood, but I totally understood what he meant. One of you guys mentioned, you know, tearing down the veil or, you know, breaking down the wall. I'm like, not only did Christ become our, he tore down the wall, but he joined us unto all of these good things that are written in scripture. You know, with the mind of the flesh, you can't really accept all of those good things. With the mind of the spirit, you can. It really took a great big overhaul of, you know, seeing the holiness of Christ as a free gift. To me, it was a gift where you heard about it and you had to strive really hard to stay in it. And it was always a great big disappointment. I must have gone through Psalms 51. You know, for 15 years, I've read that Psalm every single time I sin. Every time I sin. Psalms 51. The condemnation was so great on me. And the wrath of God seemed so, you know, present. But the Lord began to teach me about abiding in Christ. And he was showing me, hey, this is a good way to abide in Christ. Start accepting what the scripture says as you being one with it. If it says holiness, you're one with holiness. If it says sanctification, you're one with sanctification. If it's righteousness, you're one with righteousness. But, oh, my mental condition, my Yes, the mental condition. If it says, you know, you're one in Christ, you're one in Christ. If it says you're one with one another, you're one with one another. And when the Lord, you know, like it was, you can't explain it. When he opens something up to you and you get it, because he's given you the understanding of it, the joy that was set before you. Now you begin to see, oh, this is how I'm able to endure the cross. It was like I was totally void of the joy because, you know, that being one with whatever the scripture says concerning Christ, accepting that as, you know, I'm the brother of Christ, you know, I'm one with Christ. I'm joined unto Christ. I'm sanctified through Christ. I'm holy through Christ. You know, I'm covered in the blood of Christ. it's like allowing every molecule of Christ to become your being. And then you understand, oh, this is how you endure the cross. This is how you endure the nails. And it actually became a joy to me. The separation was gone. This big void that was there, this huge struggle, the huge mental condition, always trying to figure out, oh, trying to stay in the course of being well-pleasing unto God and not accepting that I was well-pleasing unto God because he said it. Once you've accepted, you know, his offer, the free gift, you get everything that comes with the free gift. Not based on years, not based on, you know, perfection, but just based on what he said. Yeah, that's all I wanted to say about it. That's what I got from it. I'm done.
Okay. Praise God. That's good. Thank you, Willie. Anybody want to comment? All right. Anyone got anything they'd like to share? Well, it just so happens, let me get this. I want to share a little something with you. It's an audio. I think it'll bless you. Let me see how to do this. Share screen. Share computer sound. Okay. I think I got it all. Now, give me just a second here. Man, I was getting into it. Okay. Oh, I see. I think I have to share the screen for y'all to hear it. All right, hang on.
Hey, Michael, when you're sharing that, there's two options. One of them will be a share computer sound, and the one next to it, make sure that's unchecked.
Yeah, and then hit share screen.
Yeah, well, share screen first, and then, yeah, exactly. And then you'll see that, and then hit share screen, yes. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Let me see if I can get this now.
You might have to unplug your headphones, too.
What do you think?
I don't know. I'm just saying. I want to try it out.
Let's see. Let's see what happens. All right. Hang on. Y'all be a little patient here. Okay. Now let's see what happened. Y'all let me know if you can hear it. I'm going to start it now.
Only praying men touch God.
We can hear it.
Very few of God's people pray anymore. We're too busy working for Jesus to talk to him. You see Christ come into the shadows, standing outside the office door, and he says, "Man of God, can I have an hour, please?" "Not now, Lord. I've got a counseling session. I've got to try to save a marriage." Again, the Spirit calls, "Man of God, may I have an hour with you?" "Not now, Lord. I'm meeting with my architect and building committee for your new church. We'll be busy till midnight." Again, the Lord calls, "What about tomorrow? May I have even one day with you now?" "Not now, Lord. I have no time. I'm leaving for South Africa for a missions conference." "Very soon, Lord, not just now. Souls are dying. I need it in Africa. We have time to visit, to build, to travel, to vacation, to attend meetings for recreation, reading, counseling, visitation, but no time to pray." You know, I'm weary of hearing people say, "This is such a busy, fast-paced generation. We don't have time to pray today." No, it's not a lack of time, it's a lack of desire. You'll make time for what you really want to do. Look at those Christian brothers on the racquetball court. Sweating, concentrating, serious, hours and hours on the racquetball court. Imagine Melby's got a Coke in hand and he's got sandwiches, probably going to watch 3 hours of cowboy time. These are the men who tell me they have no time to pray. And here's the dear lady, she spends her time at Tupperware. She's got baby showers going. Tomorrow she goes shopping. The afternoon she's got to see what's going to happen to Laura on TV. And she tells me she has no time to pray. Look at the young people in America wasting their time playing Pac-Man, Galaxy War, goofing off, bored, restless, looking for action. No time to pray. Oh, God, somehow get this generation on its knees. Break it, not just the Lord's Prayer, but a Holy Ghost communion. You say you have no time to pray, yet the very Son of God who has the care of all the multiplied universes, he has the time to pray for you. He takes the time to intercede before the throne of God. He prays. You say you have no time. He does. We'll go anywhere. We'll do anything in his name, but we will not pray. We'll sing and cry, but we won't pray. We'll visit the sick and the prisoners, but we won't pray. We will counsel the hurt and needy. We'll stay up all night to comfort a friend. We won't pray. We'll fight corruption, but we won't pray. We'll crusade for morality, but we won't pray. We'll stand up against nuclear armaments, but we won't pray. We can sit here for 2 hours praising God, but we won't go home and pray. We'll attend crusades and seminars, go from meeting to meeting, lift our hands and sing and shout and praise the Lord, but we don't pray. Prayer's not just a bunch of words running out of our mouth. It's not just a bunch of words. I'm so sick and tired of people just saying words. No wonder the devil is sapping the spiritual strength of this generation, because prayer is a bloody battleground. Prayer is a bloody battleground. I believe that the devil will throw hell at any man who says, I'm going to pray and seek the face of God. The devil's not afraid of power-hungry saints, but he trembles at the sound of a praying saint.
Jesus answering said, you know not what you ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? You see, the thing between where you are now and the baptism of fire is a cup. What's a cup? What was a cup? Well, I'll tell you what ingredient, one ingredient was. It had betrayal in it. The men who sworn allegiance to him, when it came to the crisis, they quit. Can you drink of the cup? What's in the cup? I believe in that cup there was internal suffering, mental suffering, and spiritual suffering. You want to drink the cup? I say it was internal. Why? Because in Isaiah 53:11 he says, he traveled, deserted by others, and in the darkest hour, not only deserted by men, deserted by God. Can you drink of that cup? Do you want to travel? You see, what people are seeking for today is a painless Pentecost. There isn't such a thing. The day of Pentecost was fully come. What happened immediately after Pentecost? They tossed them. Yes, they did. They went to jail. It wasn't prosperity. It was prison, pain, privation, persecution. If you're going to follow the Lord, it's division in the family. Your father and mother will hate you. Jesus got to a place where his brother said he was insane. You know, people say, I want to be like Jesus. I doubt it. You want to get kicked out of your family because you love God? Do you want to be told truth to God that the Thomas comes and doubts you? That the Judas tells you? Do you really want to be like Jesus? Well, why don't you practice it? Why don't you have 40 days and 40 nights of fasting? I'm sure it was not only internal, I'm sure it was mental pain. I'm sure it was bodily pain. Christianity has not been weighed in the balances and found wanting. It's been tried, found difficult, and rejected. It's too tough. There's no part-time service. Leave all and follow me. Can you drink of the cup? We're able. So they drank and they were crucified. Today it's considered sadistic if you say people have to take up their cross even. Don't tell young people about the cross that everybody carries. Well, are you suggesting Jesus wasn't smart? If you're going to be my disciple, kiss the world goodbye. You see, when people are born again these days, they don't get separated from the world. Most likely their pastor's the most worldly guy that is around. But if you're going to get what he wants to give, if you're going to get the real true baptism of the Spirit, you have to drink of that cup.
All right. What do y'all think? Anybody want to share anything?
Yeah, actually, I don't know who the second guy was, but who was the first gentleman?
I'm David Wilkerson.
Yeah, it might have been.
That's what I was kind of thinking. The reason I say that is specific. I mean, it doesn't really matter the person, but all too often we get caught up in our own, again, it's making Jesus like us. We get caught up in our own authority. And we negate the authority of the Lamb that was given for us because of such. So it's fleshly authority. It's false authority. Right, the devil will love to use that, and he'll put problems and all sorts of stuff all over you, just so you don't have time to pray, so you don't, hear what the Lord is telling you. You know, and he'll make it. There's a God of this world, and he will bless his people abundantly to make it seem as if gain is righteousness, is godliness, but contentment with gain or contentment with godliness is great gain. So the issue there is if we do not pray, if we don't take time to seek his face and don't take time to say, Lord, what's on your heart? It's not what I want. I see all these people, but I don't know. Are you chastising these people right now? Are you, is this under judgment somehow? You know, I mean, what is he doing compared to what are we doing? Because there's a lot of times that, you know, I personally have done stuff and the Lord had to, I got kind of smacked a little bit for it, you know, because I wasn't paying attention to what the Lord wanted. I was paying attention to what I want it, you know, and people will always tell you their problems and all sorts of things. And I'm not saying don't pray for people. I'm saying that if we don't listen to the Lord, we'll give them false ministering, false, we're in our flesh. We're in our flesh in that area. And so I agree 100%. You got to take time to pray.
All right. Anyone else?
I think I was moved by the able to, really get at home. You know, you try and live the holy life and stuff, but the drinking out of his cup is powerful, and it takes a lot of sacrifice, and it's really hard to step over the line sometimes and drink out of the cup. But it's something that we're called to do, and we've got to, you know, do the strength of Jesus and God to do it and live that way. So that touched me.
Amen. You know, us more or less is what God has been hitting me with here lately is praying more. We our day-to-day life gets in the way too much. I remember I told you what Luther said one time. He said, man, I got this to do. I got that to do. I don't know how I'm going to ever get it all done today. He said, well, I think I'll just go pray. So pray for 3 hours today. And so that's what that was his attitude. I'd rather pray than work to do what all that nonsense praying is very important, and it's becoming more important every day. And just like Jeremy was talking about, when we pray, we need to get in the spirit with the Lord and allow the Lord to help you with your prayers, to lead you in your prayers. And when you do that, oh my goodness, the power of God works quickly. Amen. All right, anyone else? I've got one or two more I'd like to play if y'all want to listen. Is that okay with y'all? All right.
Yeah, I like that John Debney soundtrack.
That what?
I like John Debney's soundtrack to the Passion film there.
Oh, okay.
He's a pretty good artist. He had a couple of folks from India that helped him with some of those tracks you were playing. Pretty good musicians.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's, some of you may have heard this, but I don't think most of you have, so I'm going to play it because it's one of the best ones.
But it's a lot easier to learn principles than it is to tarry with the Christ. I know so many little preacher boys, and some of them are 70 years old, that their whole life is nothing but little doctrines and principles, but they have never tarried before the Lord. They have spent no closet time. Their knees are not bare. They know nothing of going out into the woods for 7-8 days and screaming at the gates of heaven. They'd honor the pilgrims and the Puritans all day long, but they know nothing. They know nothing of their zeal and nothing of their passion. It is so easy to learn principles about holiness. It is so easy to learn attributes of God as they're set forth in statements. But how many men are so sick and tired of not being in the presence of God that they are willing to depart from absolutely everything? And if it means running like a wild man through the woods for a week, throwing rocks at heaven, they will not rest until the presence of God is real in their life.
He says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God.
Our ears have heard about him, but our eyes have not seen him.
I've been to church, but why is my soul cast down?
You're going to become nothing but a bunch of cold principles if the presence and the power of God is not in your life.
But he said, there's something missing. There's something missing. And there are millions and millions of godly Christians, those who love the Lord, but they know that there is something that there's an inner longing that has not been quite satisfied. There's an unmet spiritual need yet. There's something out there, something deeper. There's a beauty, there's a glory, there's an excitement about who the Lord is that I have not seen, that would give me something to see me through the rest of my life, something I could give my life to.
I remember as a young Christian, I was born again, I was baptized, I was studying the scriptures. I felt there was something missing in my life. And people tried to convince me theologically, oh yeah, you got everything when you were born again. I tried to believe that. I went to an assembly that taught that. But when I read in the scriptures, words like this, John 7, 37 to 39, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, from his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water.
And it was just like that after my conversion. I mean, just everywhere, all I could think about was Jesus. And then I remember one day walking into a store thinking about buying some new boots. And I walked out of the store. I have never been so broken in all my life. I realized that I walked into that store and Christ was not in every thought. Christ was not in just everything. And I thought, what happened? You know what's terrifying? Is when that becomes so common, it no longer even bothers us.
You remember in the 84th Psalm, he says, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And then right after that, he says, a day in my courts is better than a thousand.
The main thing is, he's fatherly, he's encouraging, he's loving, but he's saying, come up higher.
And tell him this year, I trust he will, and I am, I'm going to tell him every day. My goal is God himself.
Find a basement. Get some knee pads. And let's learn how to cry out to God.
And you know what Moses prayed? He had been on Mount Sinai 40 days and 40 nights. He had been the one that had the encounter with God at the burning bush. He had been the one that raised the rod and saw the sea split. He saw, seeing the miracle power of God like no one else who ever lived. But now there's something in him in the midst of the glory, in the midst of the blessing, in the midst of the moving. There's something in him crying out for a greater revelation of God. There's something in him that has to break out and take hold of God. He can't live where he is any longer. He can't stay back any longer. And he says, oh God, show me your glory. I've got to have you and know you and experience you in a way beyond what I have you. Friends, that's what it's going to take, that heart cry rising up to the throne of God.
To seek God with all your heart and soul and might, and nothing will keep you from God till you find him in reality, till the superficiality and all the lukewarmness and the compromise of God. Do you think God won't deal with you if you just that? What keeps you from him?
And then and there I claimed the gift of the Holy Spirit in dogged committal on Luke 11:13. I had no vision of heaven or of angels. I had nothing. I was as dry and empty as ever. No power or realization of God. No witness of the Holy Spirit. But something happened. He said, if the previous years had been hell on earth, these 4 years after have truly been heaven on earth. Glory be to God. The last aching abyss of the human heart is filled to overflowing with the love of God. Love is the beginning, love is the middle, and love is the end. After he comes in, all you see is Jesus only, Jesus ever.
But if the Holy Spirit is truly, truly upon you in this generation, you will not be satisfied. You will not be found among those who sit in supposed houses of God with your feet on the altar rail and a cup of coffee in your hand, listening to a PowerPoint sermon about a Christ they don't know.
Fire! And it's a wonderful thing when God reaches down from earth and gets hold of a man. There's only one thing more wonderful to me. That's when a man on earth gets hold of God.
Amen.
There's a hunger so intense that it is all-consuming and dominating. A hunger so powerful that it says to an angel, even though it's exhausted and bone-tired, I won't let you go until you bless me. God is seeking a hunger that will not let go because it cannot let go. A hunger that cannot quit because to quit is to die.
I'm looking for a manifestation of God in heaven. When he last sits right of the sanctuary speechless, you have to get out of the door to talking football or other junk.
You men, most of you know more than I'll ever know. The thing about it is, are we seeking him? Are we seeking him? Are we seeking him?
Talking about holy starvation. Listen to what Blake said. God's purposes come to pass when your heart and mind get the real God cry, and the real God prayer comes into our spirit, and the real God yearning gets hold of our nature. Something is going to happen then. No matter what your soul may be coveting, if it becomes the supreme cry of your life, not the secondary matter, or the third, or fourth, or fifth, or tenth, but the supreme desire of your soul, the paramount issue, all the powers and energies of your spirit, soul, and body are reaching out to God and crying to God for the answer. It is going to come. The hunger of a man's soul must be satisfied. It must be satisfied. It is a law of God in the depths of the spirit. God will answer the heart that cries. God will answer the soul that asks. Can you really say, God, I'm desperate? Can you really say, oh, God, I can't live without the blessing? Not for some selfish thing, but so that God can touch us, so we can touch others.
Jesus himself, who said, if anyone thirsts, let him come after me. Let him come to me and drink.
He said, I will not let thee go unless you bless me.
Are you desperate?
I'm looking for God, the Holy Ghost, to come suddenly. He says, I'm not satisfied with anything except God. My goal is God himself. Not joy, not peace, not even blessing, not the favors. And I want God. I need him.
Have I ever sought God so desperately that I'd rather die than not get to know him? You see how weak our longing for God is? You got to have a heart that longs for God. See, there's a law in God's dealings with man that it's only those who seek him with all their heart, Jeremiah 29, verse 13, who seek him with all their heart, who will find him. So if you didn't find him, it's because you didn't seek with all your heart. And you didn't seek with all your heart because you didn't think it was so important. You know, people who don't seek for the fullness of the Holy Spirit with all their heart, chances are they'll never be full of the Holy Spirit.
I want to yearn for you. I want to burn with passion. Oh, obey you. And only you. Lord, I want to yearn for you. I want to burn with passion. Oh, obey you. Don't leave, Lord, I want you.
Take us deeper. Take us deeper. Take us deeper. Fire. Fire. Fire! Heavenly Father, here I am, a sacrifice on your altar. I hold nothing back from you. Hold nothing back from me. Send the fire. Set me ablaze. Burn up the dross. Burn up the flesh. Make me a flame of fire. Use me to set my world ablaze. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I want to yearn for you. I want to burn with passion. Oh, may you. And only you. Lord, I want to yearn for you. I want to burn with passion. Oh, may you. And only you, Lord, I want you.
If you were walking in the grass at night and you lose a 5-cent coin, how long would you look for it? Would you spend the whole night looking for that cheap coin? No. But supposing during the day you accidentally misplaced $100,000 somewhere. Boy, you'd spend a long time looking for that. How do you seek for God? Do you seek for God like a 5-cent coin? Okay. You look for a little bit. If you find him, well and good. If you don't find, doesn't matter. I've got other more important things to do. Well, then, such people never find God. God says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
How much time do you spend in the presence of God? How much time do you lay before him? How much time do you pull away from everyone else and even from your studies, dear brother, to throw yourself down before him and seek his face. I would go out on the streets in Austin, Texas, and preach. I was afraid. There was no boldness. There was no power. There was nothing. But I would always hear the voices of these old men. And one day I decided, enough is enough. I will seek him until I find him or until I die. I went into a closet and I said, I'll not leave this closet until I know God. 15 minutes later, I fell asleep. My roommates came home and found me in the closet. So I took an alarm clock with me. Please, I'm not saying this for any other reason except I feel like I'm supposed to. Took an alarm clock with me. Set it for every 15 minutes. I'd pray for maybe 5 or 10 minutes. Fall asleep. Alarm clock go off. Set it again. This was my prayer. I didn't pray for China. I didn't pray for the presence of God. In the sense of my ministry, I asked one thing. Lord, you said if I seek you, I'll find you. You said it, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to me. You would let yourself be found by me if I seek you. Night after night after night after night for months. 2 and 3 hours a night, simply sitting there like this, on my knees. Lord, it's been 4 months now. It's been 5 days now, and you still have not come. And just sit there. Lord, I've been here 3 hours, and you have not come. Day after day and night after night. And then one day our church was spring break, and all the college students were going to go on a Bible study ski trip type thing in Colorado. And I felt like the Lord wanted me just to go out into West Texas to the hill country, pretty barren. And I walked on top of those hills 3 days like a wild man. If you would have seen me, you would have thrown me in an asylum. I was picking up rocks and I was throwing them, literally, physically throwing them at the sky. I was screaming. I was saying, God, I must know you. You must come. You must. I can't live like this anymore. I can't live just reading books. I can't live just reading about revivals and about people who knew somebody, who knew somebody, who knew somebody, who knew you. And nothing happened. And I went home. Another several weeks passed. And one night, he came. I just said, oh, Father, I can't. Please come. And he came. I was thrown down on the ground, I don't know how long, in a fetal position, covering my head, thinking, God's come to kill me. The presence of God, in a way that in 1 second, more of my sin and my need and his glory and power was revealed. And then all of a sudden, every bit of fear was taken away. And I was filled with such joy, and my mouth shot open. Verse after verse from Psalms, from everywhere else, passages I had read just started coming forth. Praises unto him, the word of God. Such joy, and I can tell you, it has been 20 years. The presence of Christ is more real to me in this room than anyone of you. And one of the things that is so bad today is many of you men here, you also have known the presence of Christ. But now most of your prayer life is nothing but praying just a little and then just realizing he hasn't come and getting up and walking away instead of staying there until he comes. It's just prayer of going through the motions. You want holiness in your life? Run to him and stay there. Stay there.
I want to know what it's like to have uninterrupted communion. I want to be able to call on him at any day. I want to be have my life to be a life of prayer. One thing I desire and one thing I have set my heart to, and that is that I can dwell in his presence and inquire of him. In other words, I want to know who he is. I want to see his face. I don't know what your thought may be. If you could say the one thing, the one desire you have in life that you're going to spend your life, rest of your life seeking to obtain. I want something now that truly satisfies my soul. I want something deeper than I have ever known in the Lord.
And I say, Lord, I'm not letting you go. I'm hanging on. I know it's your will. This man wrestled. He touched God. Well, tell me, who in the world is worth touching if it's outside of God? If we can't touch God, we touch nobody. We're touching nothing. Only God can save us. We need a divine intervention. We need God to rend the heavens and come and disturb us. And to do that, it shows our bankruptcy. It shows that we have to be stripped before he insolves us, empty before he fills us, plead our poverty before he makes us rich. I'm looking for God, the Holy Ghost, to come suddenly.
I need a living experience of the Holy Spirit right now that produces rivers flowing through me right now.
I want to challenge you with everything in me. Press through! Press through the crowd! Press through the religion! Press through the schemers! Press through your enemies!
God, have mercy! I'm so hungry!
Find him! Find him! Find him! Find him!
Oh, God, for one time! Lord, open your heart to me. I want to know you. I want to see you. And the Lord answers him in three words. Seek my face. And say, God, I need you. I need you. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in my life. I want reality. I want rivers of living water.
We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be flowing in the river and the life of God as a reality. And we are meant to be filled with Him and to be consumed by Him. Get filled with God. But right now, let's just be inspired and hungry for the reality of God.
We are meant to burn. There's something I'm longing for, unshakable, uninterrupted. Some kind of a walk with God that I've not yet seen or experienced. Folks, David, I believe, got tired of dead ritual in the house of God, tired of the ceremonies. He sees the Lamb, but he says, they talk about the Lamb, but who is the Lamb of God? I want to know this Lamb.
But there's a stirring in you. There's a stirring in the true bride in this generation. Thank God. Thank God that you've been sent on a search for Him. It's evidence that the Holy Spirit is within you. He's drawing you. He's guiding you because God loves you with all of His heart.
And you have not found it yet because somewhere along the line, you got stuck in front of a television set and you neglected your Bible and got dead inside and you turned your own prayer life and everything else into a ritual. And now it's left you hungry. But I'm saying even the godly people who pray, even those who are under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they're always reaching out to this one eternal, glorious joy, something that will take me to the coming of the Lord and see me all the way through eternity. It's a relationship. It's an uninterrupted intimacy with Jesus Christ. Now, this is not a call to prayer. David's been praying 7 times a day. This is not a call, well, go spend more time. Yes, thank God for more time. Thank God for all the Bible study and all of that. But the face of God is His reflection. It's His likeness. This is a call to get to know who the Lord is so you could live like Him. Seeking the face of Jesus is not just a call to prayer. It's a call to a hunger and a thirst in the soul to seek.
It is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Till He come. Not to some short prayer at the end of the sermon. But till He come, I will not let thee go. Except thou bless me. Except you have your way and your will with my life. I will not let thee go. Except thou bless me. Have my way. No matter what it costs them. Oh, ye shall seek me, ye shall find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, God says. That costs you everything.
Moses in the spirit groaned, and God, sitting on the circle of the earth with all power and authority, says, Moses, let me alone. And Moses answers back, he said, I won't let you alone.
He said, I'm so desperate, I've got to find you.
I'm going to challenge you with everything in me. Press through! Press through the crowds! Press through the religion! Press through the schemers! Press through your enemies! Find him! Find him! Find him! Find him!
God tests me to see whether I'm serious. And I knock, nothing happens.
And I knock, nothing happens. I ask, nothing happens. I pray, I seek, I knock. I'm not going to give up because I'm determined.
You know, it's a wonderful thing when God reaches down from earth and gets hold of a man. There's only one thing more wonderful to me. That's when a man on earth gets hold of God.
All right. What do y'all think of that? I believe we all need to do more of that, don't we? Seeking after the Lord. How many of you want that? I do. I long for that.
Amen.
I remember 20 years ago, about 18 years ago, I was in my shop, and I was praying, and I was praising God, and he fell on me like that. And for 4 hours, I was in heaven. God was with me. He had filled me to overflowing with his Holy Spirit. It was an awesome time. I won't ever forget it. But I want to do it every day. I want it 365, 24/7. It's an awesome time. So we have to sacrifice self and the world. Seek him with all your heart, he says, and you'll find him. When we do that, he'll be with us. What's the most important thing in your life? Is the most important thing God? Or is it your ministry? Or is it your family? What is it? You know, that's where you have to sit down and prioritize what's most important in your life. Should be God and seeking God. I played that for encouragement that we would all, it always encourages me when I hear those old saints talking about that. And of course, Paul Washer was in there. Y'all heard him. But it encourages me, and it sets a desire in my heart to want to get closer to God. And I pray that it did the same with y'all. Anybody got anything they'd like to say?
It was just awesome. Stirred my soul.
Yep, it was pretty awesome. And the one before that was, what was that about? Let me look here. That was about the prayer. About prayer and how we should be praying a lot, all the time, actually. All right, has anybody got anything they'd like to share about what we just listened to?
The thing that really caught me was when you mentioned, are you able to drink of the cup? And having that prayer life is drinking from that cup, taking out the time. That cup kind of explains it all. But having a prayer life, it's like drinking from that cup. It really is. It really is death to self. It is the only way you'll know who Christ is. When they said, Jesus said, you will surely, you know, drink from that cup. And they were all in the upper room, and they were drinking from that cup. They were denying self. They were waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They were waiting to be endued with power from on high. They know that they could not be living witnesses of God without the Spirit. They suffered separation from life, family, possessions, and set their hearts strictly toward God. And it went in such a way, it said that the Holy Spirit came into that room like a mighty rushing wind. And that's how it should come into our minds. Like a mighty rushing wind. It should, you know, envelop our entire nature. That's just what I wanted to add.
Well, Willie, it shook the house too. And it shook the world. 3,000 men and women were saved that day because those people got up there and sought God with all their heart. And the result was the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts coming amongst them. And they right away went to evangelizing. That power of God in their lives. They wanted God more than they wanted anything else. And they shook the world, turned the world upside down for Jesus. And all of them, every one of them, went to their death except for John, for Christ. And that's the attitude and the perseverance and the diligence and the heartfelt love for God that he wants. And I'm not talking about phileo love. I'm talking about agape love, like we talked about last night. It's that agape love, that obedience is better than sacrifice love. We do obedience over and above anything else. Praise God. Woo. Might be wanting to get up and shout. I started to.
I think the thing that was so encouraging, I mean, there's so many things going off in my mind right now. And it says that Jesus, you know, his sweat was as great drops of blood. And it just reminds me of that scripture where it says, you entered into another man's labor. Right there, Jesus Christ was laboring for you to receive the Holy Spirit. I can't explain how awesome that is. But he labored right there in the garden. So everything that happened in the upper room, you can enter into that labor. And it was like, you know, he finished it. He finished it. And that was just beyond anything that you can ask for. Anything. Anything. But that was awesome. That was awesome.
Well, Father, place it in each one of us to hunger for you, Lord. To have that hunger for you, Lord. That supersedes anything else that's in our life, Lord. That we run after you. We're not going to turn you loose, Lord, until you bless us. Until you bless us with your presence. Until you bless us with your filling. Until you bless us with your love in our hearts, Lord. Lord, we long for you. We long to have that relationship with you, Lord. That, Lord, I want to be so close to you, and I want to be able to just turn over and say, what do you think about that, Jesus? And know that you're going to answer. I want that relationship, Lord. And I think everybody in here does too. And Lord, I just praise you that you put it in each one of us. I'm going to believe by faith that you're going to put it in each one of us to pray more and to seek your face, Lord. Not your hand, but your face. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. Thank you, Father. Amen. Woo-hoo. I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Now, y'all have to think about that in a little bit. Absolute surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is absolute surrender? Can anybody tell me what absolute surrender is to the Lord? That's when you give it all up for the Lord. That's when you lay the world, your flesh, everything on the altar and say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. And then you believe by faith that you've done that. And then the Lord, you quit trying to quit the sin, quitting the sin yourself, but you give it to the Lord and you allow him to do it. And I'm going to tell you something. By faith, God will have you walking that perfect walk that he wants each one of us to do. But it has to be him the one that does it. It's nothing that we can do. How many of you have ever tried to stop sinning, doing something that just keeps on going, you know? Me too, Willie. And then you just finally have to give up. You say, Lord, I can't do that. I can't quit it. And then I say, well, that's what I've been trying to tell you, boy. He said, give it to me. I'll take it. And when you do that, he's faithful to take it. When it comes back up in your face again, you're able to overcome because, you know, that's Jesus's. That's not mine. That's Jesus. You go and mess with Jesus. Don't come up in here messing with me. And that's what you do. You just believe by faith. And God will get close to you. He sees your attitude toward him is 100%. It's an absolute surrender to him. He's going to bless you. Going to bless us mightily. And it's not an overnight thing. It's something that, it's a progressive walk. It's a walk that we all are walking. It's not instantaneous. It's something that we're in the race, aren't we? We're running a race. We're running a race against time, not against each other, but against time, to manifest as much fruit of Jesus, to allow God to manifest as much fruit of Jesus in our life that we allow him to do. Ooh, my goodness, y'all. We're fixing to go into some fine times here. Some fine times. And you know, when that anointing comes, those that have been seeking him with all your life, you're gonna know it. We all are gonna know it. That anointing is gonna come and just it's gonna be awesome. So my encouragement to everybody is seek him with all your heart and surrender your life to him. I know we got day-to-day things to do, but he said to sacrifice to, you know, if you're working 10 hours a day, well, get up a little earlier and go to bed earlier. I'm not trying to put you under the law, but I'm just saying, you know, God wants us to obey him, seek him with all our hearts. Amen. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share along these lines? What do you think, Andrew?
Well, sometimes a person can think and say, I want to speak the way the Lord speaks. I want to think on the way the Lord thinks and come close to him. I want to speak like him. I want to be able to address things at every occasion. And just to meditate on Jesus, how many times you've read about him and want to get to that level that might just even be, you know, similar to that. And to strive and be like the gift he gave you. And you know, it when you start thinking about this, I'm going into examining myself and like you said, you know, maybe you should just give it all to him and let him move through you. That's all I'm really getting now.
Well, that's true. Yeah. It's nothing that we can do. But we can absolutely surrender everything to Him. And when you do that, you know, David's got a teaching out, when we're weak, God's stronger. And so we just have to absolutely just give up and say, Lord, I can't do it. I've tried all these many years and I've failed every day, trying to live this sinless life, and I can't do it. I'm going to give it to you. Well, you know what happens when you do that? He starts working in you. He's the one, he's the overcomer. It's the Christ in you. Our job is to have the faith to believe that He's doing it. And how do you get that faith? You get it by renewing your mind with the Word of God. You get it by praying in tongues. You get it by doing the things that God wants us to do. The Christian's life is prayer. That's the Christian's life. That's how we get God to do something. That's how God moves and works in the world, is through our prayers. Y'all seen how our prayers have affected nations. And it's only because God told us to pray, that He put it in our hearts to pray. And so it's all about God. It's not about us. But it's our job, like we said before, is to renew our mind with the Word of God and to pray. Christian's job is to pray. That's when you send the angels. I think I told some of you, may not have heard this, but a few years ago, the Lord gave me a vision as we were praying of angels just laxing about. They were just walking around in this big house we were all in and didn't have anything to do. And then another time we were, and the Lord told me at that time, I said, Lord, what is this? He said, well, that's my angels. They don't have anything to do. They punched the time card, but they don't have any work to do because y'all hadn't been praying. And so the next time I had a vision, which wasn't too long after that, maybe a month or two, we were on the back porch there at the boarding house in Sweetwater and praying. We had a morning prayer meeting every morning. And all of a sudden, this vision came on, and I saw these angels flying around about just, I don't know, six or seven feet off the ground. There's a bunch of them out there. And we started praying in tongues. We started praying in the Spirit. And nobody saw them but me. But I saw them come up as we started praying in the Spirit, and they sat down in front of the porch where we were. It was a long back porch. And they just stood there as we were praying. And then all of a sudden, I saw one of them get up and fly. Then I saw another one take off. And then I saw another one take off. And then I saw another one take off. And I said, what in the world? We were giving them instructions through our prayers. And that's what the God was showing us. He said, when you pray, then my angels have something to do. I send them on to do those jobs that you've been praying about. And that really showed me how important our prayers are in the spirit realm. It's how we fight our battles. It's how we fight our battles. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share? We're getting kind of close here. Has anybody got anything they'd like to pray about? Well, Father, come to us, Lord. We want you, Lord. We want you over and above anything else that we want, Lord. And I ask, Lord, and I pray that you sweep through us like a mighty wind, Lord. And from us, it goes across the world, Lord. We're looking for revival. And we know that the revival is not going to come until you designate the time. But, Lord, we pray for you. We're praying for you. Because when you touch us, man, the people around us are going to catch some of that overflow. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that you are working in our lives. You are getting rid of all the old dross that hinders our walk, Lord. And I praise you for that. You're scooping up the dross off of the fine gold. And I thank you, Lord, that we're about to get there. You told us that we're getting close. And I'm so looking forward to being with you, Lord. I want to be with you right now. I want to be with you right today. And I know everybody else does too. Lord, direct our thoughts. Get our thoughts in line with you, Lord. Get our lives in line with you, Father. Help us to do that, Lord. I relinquish my control to you, Lord, and I give you absolute authority in my life, Lord. I don't want anything but you, Lord. And the only way that I can get that, Lord, is with you. It's not with me. I can't do it. It has to be with you, and I relinquish everything to you, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you work in everybody else's life tonight, Lord, that you give us dreams, you give us visions of what you want us to do, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that you are working in all of our lives. You're placing a hunger for the Word of God in our lives like we've never seen before. We're thanking you for the revelations that you've given us out of your Word. Lord, I know that there's layer upon layer upon layer of revelations in your Word, Lord. It's just an awesome thing to see when you open up those layers to us. And I praise you for it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to protect us and provide for us in the days to come. I thank you for protecting Donald Trump and the cabinet and his family and their families, Lord, over the next 4 years, Lord, however how long it's going to be. And I thank you, Father, that you're giving him wisdom and you're giving us wisdom as well. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good night, saints. God bless you.